We carry on reading 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Again here, the focus is how Paul wants them to practice being holy in a correct sense of the word. And the misunderstanding that could take place because of Paul's judgment and decision concerning the wicked man who had an affair with his father's wife could easily be misunderstood and misrepresented and misapplied. And so Paul was very careful to make sure that that doesn't happen easily. So he has to explain a lot of these things here very carefully. So we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. And Paul wrote, "But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother." That is going to be important for us to take note of, right? Who is sexually immoral or covetous or idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Now, it's very obvious that Paul is still talking about the same subject because there is reference to this evil person. And this evil person is already identified very clearly in chapter 5 and verse 1. And he keeps on being mentioned again and again, right? So Paul helps us to understand that he is really focusing on the evil person who has done this deed, right? This is important. And with this particular text, he wraps up his conclusion on dealing with this subject. Well, the question that we need to ask ourselves as we look at this particular text is how Paul understood this in the light of the Christian brotherhood. That's going to be important. What does it mean when people speak about being children of God? What it means to be among the Christian brotherhood? What does that really mean? Right? Of course, we've got to go back to the whole idea that first, there is salvation in the Lord Jesus through faith in Him, through faith in His blood, through faith in His sacrifice made on Calvary for us, through being justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is found in Romans chapter 5, and that's very beautifully written, and we want to treasure all the things that come from it, right? So we become children of God. John 1:12 reminds us. And so we have now peace with God. We have access to the Father. We have His grace. We have a lot of things going on. And we must also accept that tribulation is part of God's allowance for us to experience. And through it, we learn perseverance, we learn character, and we have a very much more strengthened hope. Right? So because we are all children of God, therefore we can speak of a brotherhood of believers. Now, this is absolutely vital so that when we take a look at this particular text, we see a lot of things which are actually expressed elsewhere in the book of Romans, in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Colossians. All of these things are also very clearly stated, very clearly declared. And Paul is just saying all of these things in summary. So what is the lifestyle of children of God, of believers who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, it is very often it's almost obvious to say these things here, but it's there, right? It is, for example, we are told that we have been cleansed. We have been purified. You know? So the key word that must stand out for us is purity. The next word that we need to be understood is that called righteousness. As God is holy, just as God is righteous, so we ought to be as children of His. Our righteousness must not be external. The Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples, "Except your righteousness be more than that of the Pharisees." Well, this is our challenge, to have true righteousness. and this righteousness will lead us to express it in a life of holiness, where we are sanctified by the Lord, where we are committed to the Lord, we are His in every sense of the word. There is a special sense of holiness there. And expressed in that in our life will be a sense of godliness. And that's what we need to look at very carefully. So as we look at all of these things here, well, Matthew summarizes everything and he talks about how we are the salt of the earth, we are the light of the world, and we are the city on the hill. And so as we look at all of these things here, there's no question as to the kind of Christian life that we are all called to live out for the Lord Jesus as we name Him as our Savior and as our Lord. But when we take a look at the world out there, in Ephesians 2, we have a description of the world that Paul described in his letter to the Ephesian church. And so there we go. Once upon a time, Ephesians 2, verse 2, once upon a time you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we, and Paul puts himself together with everybody else, and all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Well, Paul tells us, describing it, we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. Now, this is the world at large. This is our life. So when a person does not have the Lord Jesus in his life, does not profess faith in the Lord Jesus, has not been justified by the Lord, then obviously we have something quite different. So where are we spiritually? We are actually spiritually dead. And we are dead because of our trespasses and our sins. Right? So what were we doing in our life? How do we order our life? And the reality is that we actually have our life ordered for us already, because of the influence of the world, because of the influence of powerful spirits in the world. And so we end up adopting a worldly, godless lifestyle. That is a real challenge of it all. So wherein is the challenge? It is to live a life that is distinctly different from our past life. And this past life must include even those who are good friends, companions, since we were young. And if their lifestyle is that which is worldly and sinful, and the only answer that we can have is to quote what Paul suggested and then realize that we cannot carry on with that lifestyle at all. And this is important. This is what Paul meant when he talks about what it that we should not. And this is very important, right? So here is a person, is that we should not keep company with anyone named a brother, right? So a person can name himself as a brother Christian. But in reality, the person is not, right? So his life will show that he is actually a sexually immoral person. He talks the language of the world. It's a lot of sexual orientation and connotations in their speech, in their language, in their focus, and so on and so forth. Well, how is this person a brother in the first place? Right? We cannot tell whether the person is or isn't, but we can tell by the language, by the lifestyle, that this is a person who may or may not be a brother. The point of it all, however, if this person says that he is a believer, he is a brother, then his life must not reflect any of these things here. But if his life does reflect any of these things here, it's clear-cut choice as to what must be done. And Paul says it very, very clearly, very much, that one should not keep company with such people. And he made a list of them, right? Those who are sexually immoral, those who are covetous, those who are idolaters, those who are revilers, those who are drunkard, those who are extortionists, and all of those things were all listed. And this is absolutely important for us to understand. So when we talk about friendship, we talk about fellowship with people, We must be very, very clear-minded concerning this matter here. This is not being judgmental. This is not trying to put people down. This is not about being holier than others. But this reality is what he's been talking about. We are part of the Passover, as it were. We are part of the unleavened bread. Therefore, we have to be pure. We have to be holy. We call ourselves children of God. Well, it is, the onus is on us to prove that we are children of God by the way we live out our lives. And this is vital for us to consider very much. Right? So as we look at all of these things here, we ask ourselves where we are coming from on this matter here. And so Paul tells us, this is what we must be concerned about. We literally have to check a person's life. Is a person sexually immoral? Is a person covetous? Is a person an idolater? The person is a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. Now, if the person is like that, and the person likes to revile and speak bad things about other people, you know, speak bad things about the government, speak bad things about people in general, speak against the church, speak against the pastors, a reviler. It's like that. The person is not happy about anything, finds fault with everything. And Paul asks ourselves, well, how are we to keep company with such people? And the answer is obviously we can't. Right? Now, this is something we need to think about very carefully. So then Paul was then asked, what about judging? What about people on the outside? Well, what about people? I mean, this seems to be describing also the fact that the world out there is like that, right? Out there, the focus is not on being holy, on being righteous. Out there in the world, there are plenty of people who are immoral, who are covetous, who are idolaters, who are revilers, who are drunkards. There are plenty of them who are like that. They are extortioners and all. So what do we do with them? That Paul says, look, this is important for us to look at. We are not going to judge people for what they are, what they're doing, because they don't belong to the church community, right? So if they are non-believers, we can take note of what they are doing, and you know, we are not out there to condemn. We are going to call them to repentance. We're going to share with them our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to share with them why we live the way we do and why we don't enter into those things. We can share them. Share all these thoughts with them clearly, and this is what we should be seriously considering. But do we want to judge them? Do we want to condemn them? Do we want to put them under anathema? The answer is no, we can't. So what about those who are wicked and all that? And Paul gives us a very sound piece of advice here. Let those who are outside, let God judge them. That's it. I think that's going to be important. Right? So when it comes to matter of judging, so Paul is really saying that we should not keep company. But this is not a matter of judging. This is a matter of wisdom and discernment. Do I want to spend my time with people who are doing evil, who are doing wicked all the time? Do I want to? The answer should be very, very obvious. Answer would be no. But does that mean judging? No. The actual judging of it all is the Lord God himself. He will deal with them in his own way, in his own time, and he will be the one who is going to be the final judge. There's no question about that part of it. Right? So God will judge those who are on the outside. All right? But those who are on the inside, we are part of the brotherhood. We are part of the church. And we should be very, very clear as to what it means. So in terms of fellowship, there should be no fellowship with people like that. Right? So with reference to what it means to relate to a brother who has these tendencies, then our challenge is to call them to repentance that they may be restored to God. But if it's a question of a person who is not a brother, but a person of the world, then we cannot judge them. Right? But the person who is evil, who is doing any of these things here, and they are pursuing it with callous abandon, and they are just continuing in sin, but Paul tells us very clearly, we are to put away from us, from ourselves, the evil person. So whoever it is that does all these things with a sense of importunity, with a sense of callousness, and they can't be bothered with anything, What should we do with them? And the answer is very obvious. We are to put away that person from the midst of the church. That is our basic necessity. Think about these things. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will give to us wisdom to know how to cope with all the challenges of life. We recognize how easy it is to misread and misunderstand the scriptures. We pray that you will teach us how to understand it correctly first, and then also to find the wisdom and the skill to live it out in our life properly. We pray for grace and mercy to apply this lesson accurately. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you.